Glenn.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks, and I want to welcome all the fellow Saab Fanatics enthusiasts, drivers, and just say, over the last 20 years, it's been quite a journey meeting all the creative people, all the people who somehow love this car, this brand, this experience, and I just have loved this journey so much. And I've met so many amazing people, and from the moment I stepped in my first Saab, my friend George had a Saab, and he used to drive it from Long Island to New York, and I just thought, wow, I just never was in a car like this. And it was like a sleek tank jet on wheels. It was strong. It was, I don't know, it's one of those things that's hard to explain, and I just knew that was my car. I had been around Camaros, I'd been around Firebirds, and it just didn't impress me. When I sat in that Saab, and I said, you know, and then I became a devotee, appreciator. And every time I saw one, I got my first Saab. My friend Bill, he's not my friend anymore. I wanted to mention that. But his parents, I think they basically had a leftover Saab. It was a 900. And I was just so stoked. I lived across the street from a Saab mechanic, Swedish Steel. He's out of business now. But I used to drop it over there, and I began to realize, probably as many of you have, that depending on the mechanic, it could be you could get different feedback, different options. And just to kind of bring you up to date, and really, we're doing a special feature with my Saab guru, the person I go to and have referred people to, Chris Razan, who's up in Dorset, Vermont, which is a beautiful drive. Every time I drive up to Dorset and I go to see Chris, it's just incredible. I go up this mountain road, and there sits Chris's house with his beautiful wife this summer tending the garden. They have a big, beautiful garden near a stream, and I just feel I'm at the best way I can say it's like being in a Saab barbershop, because everybody there is someone you like who has a Saab, whether it's an SPG, whether it's a convertible, and all day long, whether it's deliveries or these people coming by. And Chris is there listening to NPR, and as I said to him off the air, that he does not give up. There was one day I think I had like 50 oil leaks coming out of that car. It was all over the place. And Chris kept working at it. And I thought, wow, this is, I wish my dentist was half as good. So, and I want to acknowledge you, Scott, for being a great partner and being a co-visionary with me about this car, this way of life. I don't know. It feels like a religious thing or something strange like that. But I know that you've been a big appreciator. We've had so much learn through the years. And so this is going to be a kickoff in appreciation of the I figured I'd do a series on the 9.5. What's unique about it? And introduce yourself, Scott. You've been doing this since 1989. Tell people about
actually,
Saab.
Yeah, I started the Saab Network in the fall of actually 1988, and this October I celebrated 28 years of Saabnet.com on the site. And I think you hit on the great thing about Saabs, which is that they combine three wonderful things, which is performance, mm-hmm. safety, and economy. And you could get a Saab for not a ton of money. It gave you great performance. I mean, most of them were turbocharged. And then, you know, later on, they were all turbocharged, and they are just tops in safety, and they've always been renowned for their safety, definitely.
I was up at Top Notch, up in Stowe, Vermont, beautiful town, and I want to say every day this happens to me. And so before I get to the Burlington Top Notch store, and I'm so psyched to get to you, Chris, I was at the gasoline station yesterday, and the guy walks up to me, you know, to get gasoline, and he looks at me and he goes, wow, he goes, I'm going to get a Saab. He goes, I've read that smart people drive Saabs. And I looked at him and I said, that's true. When I was in Burlington, the guy saw I had a Saab, you know, and I'm at this really fancy restaurant because I am the man that gets paid to go on vacation. And the guy says to me, he goes, Saabs? And I said, yeah. He goes, I think they're the only car in the world that if you hit a moose, you're not going to die. Huh. He goes, because they're so socially conscious at Saab that one of the engineers died. It must have been a big reindeer or something. And he says, that roof, there's nothing like it. So I want to say part of being around the Saab, that to this day, and by the way, I'd like to get, Chris, your comment on this. Many people have told me, in fact, if you have the right Saab mechanic, Chris is one of them, that 9.5 is probably one of the best buys in a European sedan you're gonna get. What do you think, Chris?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think you can actually pick up a really nice car for, you know, $2,500 to $3,000 around in this area. And, you know, 9.5, you know, it's going to have some miles on it, but I mean, you can't find anything else out there with that kind of safety and performance for that kind of money.
Yeah, usually you could get a side window for that money.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's very, you know, it's a funny thing that you say that, because, you know, again, this is probably my bias. I just think the 9.5, and what is it in production now, what, is it 11 years? Something like that? 99 to 2011?
Yep.
Yeah, that's about right.
Actually,
yeah. 2004, 2000. When did the last ones get? Yeah, 2011. I think was the last year of it, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it's a different car. 2010, 2011.
Right. They call it the new generation 9.5, and it does look quite a bit different than the old
yeah.
than the
totally
older generation 9.5. Yeah.
Yeah.
My sister-in-law has that car, and she does. She very much enjoys driving it. Just like the previous generation 9.5, it is also a performer as well.
Yeah. Yep,
yeah, I mean, it's just one of the sometimes I think I'm like Austin Powers. I just think when I get in my car and start it up and I go to Chris's, for instance, I just love the way this car, the weight of it I love. Nothing about Saab, they have this really nice weight. And you really feel the road, and yet they have a great performance. They're incredible in the snow if you're on the East Coast. And, you mentioned the safety. I mean, Chris, you probably, how many safety stories, through your years, have you heard a lot of people say, I walked out and you know, we hit a telephone pole? Do you get a lot of that? Do you get a lot of stories?
No, I had one customer with a 9,000 that hit a moose on 91 doing, said 70 miles an hour. And him and his girlfriend were both in the front seat, and he said, you know, they got knocked out, but they walked away.
That's great.
You know, from hitting this move. So,
what do you think, Tam, who's our graphic artist? She's drawing pictures, drawings of this conversation today. She's amazing. You'll be able to see the pictures on Saab.net, and maybe Chris will post them on his website. So, because you're not officially in this cult, I don't think you had a Saab though at one point, didn't you? Do you have a Saab?
I have not owned a Saab yet. Not been that lucky yet.
All right. So just out of curiosity, Tam, I don't know what to say. I mean, I just totally, I guess my enthusiasm has not dwindled. When you're listening, what are you curious about? Like, when I tell you, like, when I drive up to Chris's house, well, first of all, I want to say, driving to Chris's is so dang relaxing. I go up there, I hike. It's absolutely beautiful where his house is. And Chris just, he's got such a zen attitude. Chris, you just seem to enjoy the process so much. You listen to NPR. You seem to just, you know, I don't know. I appreciate the way you work. I appreciate the environment. It's very different than going to a kind of a city shop where it's like you're there and it's not as pleasant. So the pleasantness of going up this big mountain road and getting to Chris's, I think I went one time to see you, Chris, and there was something wrong with the windshield wipers, and I know you improvised something. By the way, it's still working 2 years later. What's it like? What would you want to share with people? What is it like? You've been at the craft for like, what, 30, is it 30 years?
Oh, wow. Yeah, since 1980.
Okay. What's it like? If we were a fly on the wall, what would you want to share? What is it like to be you during a day? Like, because when I'm there, it always seems so much fun. You go, these visitors, people bring you beers, they bring you stories, and they bring you their Saabs.
Yeah, well, it's nice being a real small shop. I mean, when I worked at a dealership, and I worked at a couple of them. You know, a lot of it gets lost between the service writer and the actual person who's doing the work on the car. You know, so when you get a work order and it says, you know, there's a rattle, but you don't really know mm-hmm. exactly where, and you don't get to talk to the customer, and
mm-hmm.
you know, you fix what you think is what they're talking about,
yeah.
but then when the customer comes to pick up the car, they're like, well, the rattle's not fixed, you know, and it's like, well, you know, it's that happened a lot, you know. So
yeah.
That's what I enjoy about having a small shop, because I'm dealing directly with the customer, you know. So to me, it just makes a lot more sense. And, you know, it used to be pretty frustrating when, you know, they'd say, well, you know, you got to come back because, you know, this person's back. Well, you know, I fixed what you told me you thought it was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's not what the customer wanted, you know. So so that's the nice thing about having a small shop. And then, you know, I know all the customers pretty much. I know the cars. So it makes things a lot easier, more enjoyable.
I told Scott I was on Saabnet. Where I always go for my Saabs, what can I say? What I trust about Saabnet is there's a lot of original owners on that site. There's a lot of people that own that car. They know the history of that car. One of them, we became friends. He lived in Yonkers, New York. He told me he loved the car, and they were going to charge a lot of money to fix it. And I said, hey, go see Chris. And the story goes that he went to see Chris, and he took his family on vacation in Vermont. And he just always thanks me. And, of course, he ended up keeping the car. So it was kind of like, those are the kind of relationships I have with people on Saabnet. I have the kind of relationship, we become friends, and some of them I correspond back and forth, you know, and they tell me the story. And they're not what they call Saab stories. They're actually pretty cool stories, and a lot of community is happening. Tam, I want to go back to you. I got away from you, but I have my little kite string on my ankle, so I want to come back to you here. What are you listening and drawing about? What's touching you? What do you find interesting?
Well, so performance, safety, and economy. So I'm not a Saab driver, and what piqued my interest actually was the piece about economy. You've talked about the performance, so you're talking about driving a jet on wheels, which I've never had that experience. And I get that it's safe. That's cool. But tell me about the economy. I want to hear from Scott and then Chris about their take on the economy.
Okay, great. I do too.
Yeah, well, my experience is what I hear and read from people posting comments on the Saabnet site. And a lot of people brag about, their mileage, miles per gallon that they get. You know, these cars are performers, you know. They're not... they don't give up performance in order to get a higher miles per gallon, you know, ratings, or they manage to do it with a turbo, which gives the car performance, but also helps the car to get more miles per gallon. And so that's one side of the economy equation. So people are getting, you know, over 30 miles per gallon on these cars that are they're fast cars. I drive an Aero variant, and in the Saab world, the Aeros and the Viggens and the SPGs are kind of the performance variants. And so when I say performance car, it's a little rally car, and it is fun to drive, and I like to drive it, you know, kind of an aggressive manner, but yet safe at the same time. It's fun. It's fun to. I recently purchased a new used Saab, and I flew out to Colorado to pick it up, and I had a blast driving it from Colorado back home to California. It was a lot of fun. And then the other side of the economy equation is that these aren't terribly expensive cars. Like Chris mentioned, you can get a used 9.5 for a reasonable amount of money, and that goes for most of the models. I felt I got a fantastic deal on my new used Saab, and even when Saab was a viable company selling, you know, cars, brand new cars, they were priced affordably for a luxury performance type of car. The 9.5 was like Glenn said, a luxury European sedan, and yet they were priced, you know, somewhere, you know, they were priced well below Mercedes and BMW, below Audi. You know, comparably probably to Audi, somewhere between Audi and a Subaru. And so you get a very nice high-performance car for not, you know, without breaking the bank, so to speak. And, you know, for me, you know, when I started Sobnet, I was in college, and I was, you know, a fanatic, and I loved them. And my goal, you know, one of my life's goals was to buy, for just once, to buy a brand new Saab. Uh-huh. And I managed to do that. I bought a brand new Saab in 2004 for just over $20,000. And, you know, I think that is, you know, really reasonable for a really nice performance car. It was the 9.2X Aero, and it has been incredibly reliable. I just this past June, a guy ran a stop sign and totaled, you know, at 95,000 miles. I was planning on driving at 300,000. It barely had a repair. It barely needed a repair over 100,000 miles. And my wife's been a Saab driver since she started driving cars, and she's only ever driven cars since she was ever driven Saab since she was 16. And she's had the same, we've had the same reliability in all of our Saabs. And her first car was a 1983 Saab 900 Turbo, a classic 900, and it went 295,000 miles before a guy was kind of lost in the rain, T-boned it, and that, you know, bent the frame. And that's the only reason it just, I mean, it was going to keep going and keep going. And I could certainly tell you many stories. We certainly at a convention in I don't remember exactly what year it was, maybe 2005 in New York, we saw a classic 900 roll over a million miles at the convention. So, you know, cars that don't cost a ton of money but and last a long time and, you know, give you performance and are good on gas.
Incredible.
Good. Yeah, I know. It only gets more inspiring. Chris, how would you answer that question? Thanks, Scott. That was great.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, back when they had to, you know, meet emissions, when they started really tightening up the emissions, and a lot of the, you know, domestic cars, they just lost power. You know, Saab decided that, you know, well, we could put a bigger engine in, or we could, you know, we could use turbocharging. And then, you know, when you don't need the power, you're not burning the fuel because you're not putting in extra air. And if you need to pass somebody or power to go up a hill or whatever, you know, that's when you get the extra air in the engine from the turbo, and it gives you that extra performance. And by having a smaller engine with a turbo, you know, you save weight and you save fuel because most of the time you're not accelerating heavily. You know, if you notice now, I mean, like with Ford and stuff, they're all going with turbos.
Yeah.
Because it makes a lot of sense. But Saab did this back in, like, 1977. So they were, you know, pretty much ahead of the game with a lot of the technology that's even just being used today.
You know, one of the things I wanted to ask you, Tam, did you want to ask anything else about the economy? Or because I thought that was a great question.
Thank you. No, I'm set for now.
Okay. So Scott alluded to the idea of 300,000 miles. I just talked to Dave Connor in Amini, New York. He's a Saab mechanic. He took apart an engine, and he called to tell me the engine looked almost like new. He was testing this new synthetic oil, AMS oil, and he told me that the engine looked great. So what's the lowdown? Because if the engine, if you, like, for instance, you probably have treated some cars for many, many years. Is it possible to have this car going 300,000, 350,000? Because that's such a great, at every level, I love that idea. So what's your experience with high mileage and Saabs?
It's for Chris, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've only got a few of them out there. I had a 900 that went 385,000 on the original engine.
Wow.
And I've got a 9.5 out there now, which has got well over 300,000 on it. But the thing about here is the cars usually rust out before the, you know, before they,
yes,
you know, they're not inspectable anymore. So they, even though the engines are still good, you know, the cars are, you know, they don't make it that far. just because the bodies don't hold up. Although they do hold up, quite well for as compared to other cars. But salt and everything they use.
Yeah, I was going to say, they use this terrible salt, and I think they use it in Massachusetts now, too. It just rips the body apart.
Yeah.
So, Tam, you know what I've done is I did a special with Scott. I got a car from, actually it was in Kansas City, but the body was in great shape. So now I'm going to do a session with this with Scott and probably Chris. For my next car, I'm going to transport it from probably California or Florida. I feel like I'm going to take care of the body part of the equation. So,
smart stuff.
Yeah, that's what I actually want to call the show. Smart stuff. I think that would be a good title for the show.
Glenn, I just mentioned there's also on Saabnet a high, and it's called the high low mileage registry, Saab registry.
Yeah.
And people submit their information about their cars and how many miles they have on them, and it's only the rule for entry is the car has to be, it's not a retired car, it has to be currently being driven.
Okay.
And there's well over, I'm not saying, closing it, the highest one listed is 910,000 miles,
mm-hmm.
but there's a bunch listed over 500,000 miles, and there's, 50 to 100 over 300,000
wow.
miles.
Which is great. Boy, Dan, we got to get you in a Saab, I think, I think that will answer a lot of the questions. Chris, when I call your place a Saab barbershop, do you relate to what I'm saying about how people just drop by and see you and they visit with you and bring you beverages? And that's what it's like when I'm there. I just feel like people are always coming to see you, knowing that they're going to get a good, not a great haircut, but a great tune-up.
There's a lot of people who drop by. Like I say, it's a small place, and I know a lot of the people, as friends. Besides customers. So, yeah, there's always stuff like that going on. Some days more than others.
I'm looking forward to see Chris next week. I'm trying some new oil that's made in France. I believe I'm going to say it correctly. Help me, Chris. I think it's called Montoul. French synthetic oil.
Yeah, I think so. I don't really know how you pronounce it, but I haven't seen it advertised before.
I want them to like me a lot, so they underwrite my work, so I got to make sure I know how to say it. I think it's Montoul, and I'll be saying it correctly next time. But they have, since another thing I want to comment on, and I'd like to get your take, Scott and Chris, this is what I've noticed the last 10 years. I've noticed there's some Saab people, including Chris, they know the car so well. They can anticipate almost exactly where they're going to break or what a weak spot is. And so this is somewhat of an innovation curve where they have, do you find that, Chris, that certain years you have a sense of what's going to happen almost before it happens, or you... When a car comes to see you, might, as an example, change a part before it even breaks because you know the car so much inside and out that you could get right to it.
I mean, there are certain, pattern failures. I mean, like any car, there are things you need to, I would recommend changing. If you're going to do any long distance driving, there's definitely certain things I would make sure I change before I went. When the mileage gets up there to 100,000 miles or so, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
If I was going to drive cross country with a car with 100,000 or more miles, I'd probably do a fuel pump.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably, change the serpentine belts and probably the idler pulleys and the tensioner pulley, stuff like that. Stuff that has a tendency to go when the mileage gets up there. And just basically, obviously you check all the hoses and that kind of stuff. But, there are certain things that, the other thing is, too, a 9.3's and 9.5's crankshaft sensor, I'd probably do that, too, just to make sure I didn't get stuck anywhere.
Yeah.
Just regular stuff that can go. That not necessarily does. I mean, if some cars go, 150 or more,
mm-hmm.
and not fail, but, if you want to be sure you're not going to get stuck, there's certain things I would replace, yes.
Scott, what's your take on that? It seems like there's such a learning environment. People share so much on Saabnet, Saabnet.com, Saabnet, all one word, Saabnet, N-E-T.com. There's a tremendous learning community. People share freely so much on that site. Have you learned a lot because of that? The ongoing dialogue among Saab members?
Yeah, I mean, I consider myself a very novice mechanic. I have a 1973 Sonnet 3, which is a Saab's two-seater Sportster back in the early 70s and late 60s and early 70s. And, you know, that's all. It's there are no electronics, really. I mean, in the car, there's an electrical system for lights and stuff, but there's no electronics, there's no computer. And I'm comfortable wrenching on that car because I can't do, you know, too much damage. You know, if I mess up, it's not going to be significant. Like, I've been able to, you know, rebuild the carburetor and install electric fuel pumps, stuff like that. But so considering that I'm a novice, I follow the conversations, and yeah, over time I do see patterns, or I do know, common problems, or simple things like in some of the models, you know, you don't want to run out of gas because the fuel pump has a tendency to overheat and fail. It's not really mechanical, but in the newer cars where the keys are coded to the computers in the car, you really don't want to lose all your keys because if you don't have one key to marry a second key, you have to replace the computer. Because you can't, you need at least one working key to marry a second key. So, and that's just, you know, specific to I think one particular model.
It's good barrel advice as well.
That's very funny. So I see there are sometimes common topics and common threads around particular repairs and stuff like that. And yes, on site. People do go out of their way to share their knowledge, and the great thing is that it's in a database, and you could search, and often people will come onto the site and search. They won't even have to post their question because they find other people who have had the exact same issue, and they find the posting, and within it is the solution to the problem or what you need to do to resolve the problem.
Sam, since this has been an ongoing art, I see it as an art project. I just love it so much. As a matter of fact, the next car, as I said, I'm probably going to get it from California to Florida. Because you're doing this wonderful graphic drawing and story and writing, is there anything else you feel that you would want to ask or to pass on to the listener that you feel would contribute to them as new Saab initiates?
Well, yeah, actually, so it's not just that I'm new to information about Saab, but I'm actually also new to information about Saabnet itself.
Yes.
So I'm really coming at it from a very novice point of view. So my question would be to Scott, and let's just say I just got my first Saab, and I bumped into this guy, Glenn Brooks, and he tells me, go to Saabnet.com.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't even really know what my Saabnet.com experience is about. I'm learning about my car, but I seem to know that this is going to be an asset as a Saab owner. What am I going to do when I get to Saabnet.com? What's the benefit of being there?
Well, I think, you know, it's like most websites in that it's a store of information, but better than that, it's a community of people who are very friendly, very respectful of each other. There to help you. So there, you know, the centerpiece of the site are the bulletin boards. And not only do people use the bulletin boards as a forum for asking questions about Saab, but we're, you know, it's very friendly. We've there's people who have been there for, 20 plus years, and we've become friends, and we not only talk about Saabs, but, you know, if we have other issues that come up outside of the Saab realm, I've had people ask about, dental issues or home insurance issues. And the reason I think that alludes back to the beginning of this conversation is that I agree. Saab people are smart people.
Yeah.
And we not only have a wealth of Saab knowledge, but there are a lot of, you know, there are lawyers and doctors and other professionals. And there are I'm a writer. There's all kinds of people who are really smart, and so we have a lot of very fun discussions
on the bulletin boards. I'd say that's the centerpiece of the site for a new person to the Saab community. That's where you want to kind of jump in. And there's no site registration required. You don't have to register. You can start posting right away, asking questions, and participating. It couldn't be easier.
Yeah, I wanted to add one more thing. I want to add one more thing to that, Tam. The classified section is the most honest, genuine classified section I've ever been to. The people write, and they're so honest. Like, if there's an issue with, the digits on the, what do you call it? The pixels. The readout number. They'll devote. It's almost like they really care that you got a car. The people on the classifieds, and I haven't ever bought a Saab other than on Saab site, Saabnet, and I never sold a car anyplace else because it's like we just treat each other well. And then what I do is I'll call up Generous Chris and I'll say, hey, I just saw this car, and I'll say, what's your take? And that's fun too. And usually there's NPR in the background, and Chris is doing his thing up there, and then I get to go visit him. And I guess with Saabnet, I guess it's like anything else. It's like there's a different feeling, I think, with a club site or a learning site than a purely commercial site. So what Scott said, I think another thing that I really enjoyed about the Saab community is I heard many stories of people driving 100 miles to help another Saab owner out. When I first had my Saab, we'd always wave to each other. It was a certain feeling that, I don't know, it was an appreciation. And, there was kind of this inside joke that to some extent, BMWs were overweight dentists, and that Saab driver, sorry about the BMW, I love a lot of BMW people, but it's a different culture of people in terms of value and investment. Like, the people I meet at Chris's, they're very interesting people. They're kind of, I don't know, they're philosophical. I met some dog breeders up there that I thought were really interesting. I met this guy who had an SPG, which is Special Performance Group. And it was in beautiful shape. It's almost like there's this kind of green, there's a certain level of investment. So what Scott just said, I think it tips over into other parts of life. It just seems, they just seem like people who, they're thinking about things in a different way. They're interesting to interact with. And we're all going to, going to Chris's for something that we want to keep our cars going. And so when I drive to Vermont as a state, there's a lot of Saabs there. So it's like homecoming. I go there and there's a lot of Saabs. And let's see. I guess I appreciate that. That's another dimension I appreciate. There's a misnomer, and I want to handle this today. And Chris, right now Saab parts are available. So if someone buys a car in Saab, they bring it to you. Are parts omni-available so they can keep the car going?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, things go on back order, but hey, they went on back order when they were in business. For the most part, I can, and there's enough aftermarket stuff out there, so you can get, you can definitely keep the car running. The things that might, you might have to wait for would be like, maybe trim pieces and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But even most of that stuff's available. I just actually ordered a leather shift knob for my 93 900, which hasn't been available for a while. They're available again now. You can get the parts for sure.
I want to give out your website, Scott. We'll give out Scott in a second, and then I want to just touch base back with you, Tam. So it's Rivon, R-Z-Z-O-N, RivonSaabRepair.com. It's all one word, Rivon, R-I-Z-Z-O-N, SaabRepair.com. And let's get out the phone number, too, if you want a vacation in Vermont and get your car fixed. What's the number? It's not coming up on my screen. It's
802. 802-325-3827.
One more time, just for good luck.
Okay, 802-325-3827.
Chris, Tam's probably going to be there next Thursday, by the way. I know she's probably going to buy a Saab when we hang up. Is there any, Tam, is there anything else? I love your beginner's mind here. Is there anything else for this particular edition of the Saab and Travel Show that caught your curiosity, or you feel would is there anything else we should pass on to the audience for this edition?
Well, I'm pretty tickled that you guys all said it's fun to drive. I may be approaching the age where I'm going to have grandchildren in the car with me, and it's supposed to be a safe car, fun to drive, and economical. It does sound like I might need to make a trip to Vermont or maybe to California. I don't know. No, it all sounds good. I'm interested. You have piqued my curiosity.
Well, one thing's for sure. If you did go to California, Scott would probably drive it back with you because he sounds like he enjoys that, to driving cross-country and things like that.
Yep, for a trip.
I love road tripping in Saab. It's great.
Yeah. He's a friendly guy, too, and he'll probably take you to a good restaurant.
Absolutely.
So what's your big takeaway, Tam? Since this is the first time you had a conversation about Saab, and you have a feeling of the number one kind of independent site where the members really care about each other, they share this kind of inside, you know, all the little secrets they come across, they post. And then we got Chris there doing his thing with the NPR and, you know, the Saab Barbershop. Did you get a picture of the Saab Barbershop, by the way?
I did.
I'm so psyched to see that picture. You ready to see the picture of the Saab Barbershop, Chris?
Yeah, I'd love to see it.
Scott.
Actually, what I captured, what somebody said, I'm not sure if it was you, Glenn, or if it was Scott, that said performance, safety, and economy. Honestly, that sounds to me like the three key pieces that any Saab owner would want to know. And, of course, if you're going to buy a Saab, you got to go to Saabnet.com to join the community.
Yeah.
And you know what? Ding, 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 ding. No registration. Just get down to it and be part of the community. That's a big stopping point for a lot of people when they go to join a community.
It's so unfun and disappointing. I've been to so many sites that they don't let you play.
So I was pretty excited to hear that anybody can just show up and start participating. That's really a big deal. So sounds great.
Oh, yeah. All right. So I guess we're going to wrap this edition up. Saab, instead of calling you Scott, I just called you Saab. That's how much reverence I have for you, Scott.
Thank you. Go ahead
and give out the Saab. Go ahead and tell people what you want to about how to hook up with Saabnet and participate. Anything you want to share with us about the Saabnet community site?
Sure. I'll just say a couple things. I mean, it's easy. You just go to Saabnet.com. It's Saabnet.com. And you'll get the homepage, and you can navigate to the bulletin boards from there or to really any part of the site. There's Saab model information from the past. There's a section on how Saab saves lives. There's the classifieds for buying and purchasing Saabs. In fact, we set a new record yesterday for the fastest Saab sold. Earlier this year, it was from the post time to the car was sold was 9 minutes, and yesterday a car sold in 3 minutes. So it's they're about half a million Saabers have visited the site in the last 6 months alone, and then over all these years, there's been millions and millions of visitors. So it's just that easy, Saabnet.com.
Well, I love the show. I appreciate. Thanks, Chris, for taking out the time today. They're a ribbon Saab. I will see you. Appreciate you a lot, Scott. It's an ongoing honor, pleasure. Tam, I'm so happy you're able to be on the show today and contribute your beautiful art to this. I think wondrous distinctive message and ask the questions. I am the man that gets paid to go on vacation. If you have any questions or you're curious about our next program, which is going to be on how to get your Saab anywhere in the country and get it transported, and any suggestions or you want to make a comment, you know, we're going to feature the Saab Jedi. We're going to feature Walter. Well, I think it's Walter Wong from what's the name of his place there in L.A.?
It's Walter Wong from Right Solution.
Yeah.
And, he is the Saab Jedi Master.
Yes.
A wonderful guy, very friendly, very supportive.
I owe my life. I called him up one day on the cell phone. I said, Walter, I'm getting this really weird noise. And I described it. He goes, Glenn, no one tightened your lug nuts. So I got off the road, and I have a gratitude to Walter's like, you guys are going to love Walter. If you love Chris, you got another one of the Jedi Masters coming on. You can reach me with any of your ideas or questions, and my direct phone is 413-320-7100, 413-320-7100, or vibrantlivingconnections.com, Vibrant Living Connections. Tam, you want to give out your website today, too? We're gonna have a combo website soon. You want to give out your website about being a graphic artist and the graphic artist behind this edition of the Saab and Travel Show?
Sure. My website is choosebigchange.com, /infosketch. So the info sketches that you'll see with Scott and Chris's information are there.
You'll
have it. Yeah.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks, Tam. Hey, Chris, I'll see you soon. Thanks so much for coming on today.
Yep.
Thanks, Glenn.
I
appreciate it.
Enjoy. Thanks, everybody.